I love church. I love being here. I love being with you and sharing my life and sharing my journey. If I didn't love you guys so much, you know, I'm leaving for Disneyland soon as church is over. So if you don't see me when you walk out, I'm already gone. But I didn't leave this morning, all right? I waited to see you guys. I love church and I love you guys. I hope you guys know that. You're part of my life and you're important to me, and because truly this is my family. And as we go through the message this morning, you'll kind of get an idea why. And I just want to jump into the message. We started this series called Snapchat with Jesus. And I know I'm kind of stretching it a little bit. They did not have smartphones back there, just in case you didn't know. Some of you young ones, smartphones are a recent discovery. They weren't available years ago. All right? You know, now we can't live without them. You know, we can't imagine being without my phone. I can't imagine driving down the freeway right now and not having my phone in the car. You know, it's just the way it is. I was driving up the road the other day with my grandkids and my daughter, and as one time we were going to Sacramento, my tire fell off my car. Literally, I'm driving and my tire goes down the hill. You know, and somebody had loosened the lug nuts on my car. And so we pull over. We didn't have cell phones back then, so I had to wait. And fortunately, some young kids picked me up and took me into town so I could make a phone call. It's nice having cell phones now, isn't it? And it makes you just a little bit. But what would it be like if Jesus could Snapchat, if we had some Snapchats of Jesus? And maybe there'd be a picture like this. This may be from Andrew. Here's a picture from Andrew. You know, Jesus comes up and Peter, and it's like, hey, Jesus talking to my brother saying, let's come follow. You know, maybe there'd be a Snapchat like this. And maybe later on in ministry, maybe later on as time goes along, you know, Jesus was talking about, hey, you know, I have no place to lay my head. And if you're going to follow me, you have to leave everything. And maybe Peter would have posted something like this. And maybe Peter would post something like this. We left everything. You know, we left everything. You know? Maybe he's walking by the Sea of Galilee and Andrew there again with his camera, with his phone. And Jesus is over there talking to James and John. And maybe he posted a picture like this. You know, come follow me. I want to talk about following God today. I want to think about following Jesus today. But before I get into that, I'm going to kind of, because the thing about this is, when Jesus says follow me, Jesus gives us both the good and the bad. Jesus tells us about the upside of following him, but he also tells us about the downside of following him. How many of us, when you get a, anybody ever have a prescription? Anybody get a prescription? Most of you never take any medicine. I get a prescription, and you open that prescription up, and you get a piece of paper like this. Anybody? Anybody? Here's the big one. You know, how many of you read this? How many of you look at this? You pull it out, you look at the side of the bottle, it says, take one every 4 hours. What do? You take one every four. You know, we get something like this, you know, and it has all overdose and what to do and dosage and how supplied and warning things on it. You know, what do you do when you get this, you know? And how many watch TV and you watch these commercials for exercise equipment? Anybody? You know, get this new Bofax, you know, and you'll lose 2 inches or 6 inches in 20 days. You know? Then you start reading about it. It doesn't talk about all the food you got to eat, right? Right? You know, all you got to do is do the meat. No, you got to eat right too. You know? Or how about those Thanksgiving papers? You know, you get those papers at Thanksgiving time with all those sales. You know, the 80-inch TV for $199. Anybody? You know. Then you read the small print. 5 in store. You know, they lined up for Friday sale Monday night, right? And we see all these kinds of things like this, you know, or you watch those weight loss pills. I love those weight loss commercials. Just take one of these and you'll lose 6 inches, you know. And you watch all this stuff and it's just kind of like, what? You know, and we always, that small print, you know. Or I just ate a cupcake, just so you know. I like sweets. And seriously, somebody brought cupcakes and I ate one, all right. Snack Wells. You read the Snack Wells, anybody? They say fat-free on there, right? So that means I can eat a whole bunch. They're fat-free. Yeah. But you turn the box over, on the back of the box, it tells you the vanilla ones is 55 calories per one. And who's going to eat just one? Not me. All right. Yeah. I like the chocolate ones. They're 60 calories per one. My favorite are Oreo cookies. You know, three Oreo cookies is 160. They don't tell you that, do they? Yeah. And you know, we hear all these things, and it's kind of like they always want to tell you the good stuff. There's the good stuff. Here's the good stuff. Here's the good stuff. But there's always the downsides. There's always kind of the question side. That's what I want to think about this morning. I kind of want us to think about Jesus in the respect of this. Jesus came along, and he not only told us the good side, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the love, the joy. He told us all about the good side, but Jesus also told us all about the bad side. He told us all about the warnings. He told us all about the things to watch for, the things to be careful with, the things we need to be aware of. And I like the way he said he had these crowds following him. These people are joining with him and journeying with him. And he kind of stops, and here's this crowd following him. You know, he's fed them. They've seen the miracles, the lame, the blind. You know, they've seen this. They've heard his teaching. They're following him. And I could see him, and he's looking around. Here's this crowd following him, and he stops, and he turns. And if you get your little outline, this is what he says here in Luke chapter 9. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You know, they're saying, we're going to follow Jesus. We're following Jesus. I'm in Jesus. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm going with you, Jesus. And Jesus says, now wait a minute. I want you to stop and think about this. Yeah. Jesus didn't only bring the good news, but he also told us the truth of the good news. That sometimes there's a price to pay. Sometimes there's a decision to be made. Sometimes there's a commitment to be made. That yes, there's this invisible line you hear me talk about. That there's this invisible line that God invites us over to the joy and the peace, to no regrets, to freedom, to forgiveness. You know? We look at our lives and we're going, you know, I know something needs to change and I know something's not right in my life and I know something needs to be different in my life. I really don't know what it is, so I'm going to go check this God thing out. You know, and they're kind of following Jesus, and they're checking this God thing out, and Jesus says, listen, it is good. It is good news, but if you're going to cross that line, you need to understand there's a price to pay. See, that's what's good about God. When I was 17 years old, I crossed that line, and I paid that price. Not my will, God, but your will be done. I had dreams. I wanted, you know, the cop. Some of you guys know my story. I wanted to be a cop, that sharpshooter on the SWAT team. I was going to join the service. I'm 17 years old. And then God changes everything and takes me down a different path. And then there's some here, you know, you've made that decision. You've crossed that invisible line, and you've made your God. And now it's kind of like, well, what am I going to do? You know, what's God, you know, God's kind of provoking you or prodding you. And it's like, I need you to get involved in something. I need you to be in church. I need you to get involved in a small group. I need you to get involved in Awana. I need you to get involved in VBS. I need you to get involved in Love Salida. I need you. And he's asking you, and you're kind of sitting there, is there a price to pay? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. And Jesus said, listen, I want you to think about this. I want this to be across your mind. And he's kind of warning them. That if you cross this line, if you become a child of God, there is the joy. I would not trade my life. How many of you here could give a testimony to that? That you've crossed that line and there's a joy in being a Christian. There's a peace in being a Christian. There's something in your life that you can say, this is a good life. If you say that, would you say amen? You know, there's something about that. But then also when you cross that line, how many of you would say there's a price to pay? That changes in your life. There's things in your life that's different. How many would say amen to that one? You know, because that's what Jesus is kind of telling them. When I was in college, this verse, I remember sitting there, Dr. Hyatt, my professor, Christian doctrine class in college, been a Christian about less than 5 years, and I run across this verse, Matthew 7:21. I memorized this verse because it made an impact in my life. This says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but him who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that verse struck a chord with me. That verse spoke to me. For Laura and I, our life has been nothing but whatever God says. Wherever God leads, whatever God does. Off to college. Pack everything up in the back of a truck, in a car, and drive off to college. No job, no nothing. $1,000 in the bank. Leave college, go up to Golden Gate Seminary. That was a fun experience. We go up there. Lord's going to do with Jennifer in January. But housing is at a premium up there. And so we have to live in a studio apartment for 6 months until Laura has the baby before they can give us a house with a room. Yeah. And so when Laura's back in Sacramento after we delivered the baby, I'm back up at seminary in San Francisco moving. Why didn't they give me the place in the first place? Why did I have to wait till January? You know? Is there a price to pay? Then we go to Willits, California. You know, I've shared this with you. When they ordained me up there, that means they set me aside as a pastor. And our pastor from Sacramento came up. Laura had grown up since she was 6 years old in that church. And that pastor goes to this and asks Laura, as they're interviewing and talking with us, they ask Laura, would you go anywhere Gary goes? And she goes, everywhere but Texas. And then she goes this, I came to Willits, didn't I? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, was that where, you know, we're city kids, okay? You know, Salida's kind of the country enough for us, all right? Yeah, and we, you know, what do you do? God, yes, I'm in. All the way, Lord, all the way. But I wouldn't change a thing. I think many of you are the same way. Yeah. You've made that decision. But I love this. He's saying, now wait, I want you to stop and think. See, I believe there's some of you here today that need to make this decision. You need to make a decision about crossing that line. Am I going to do my life my way? Am I happy? Am I satisfied? Is my life good? Or is there just something not clicking right in my life? There's just something I can't lay my finger. I don't know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's God. I'll tell you right now. But you're wrestling with that, and you don't know, should I cross that line? I want to tell you, yes, you should cross the line. But I want to tell you, Jesus wants you to know there's a price to pay. Cross that line and say, I'm going to do whatever I want. When you cross that line, you're saying, God, I'm going to do things your way. Is that what I say? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. But see, then we as Christians, those of us who've already crossed that line, we need to make that decision over and over again, because sometimes God is saying, do you need to get involved? Here's the thing I'm going to tell you right now. There's a VBS clinic next Saturday here at our church. I'm looking around here, and some of you, listen to me, some of you be here Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. You might not know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to be. You need to be here at 9 o'clock Saturday. You can go to a crafts conference. It's going to be right here in this room. Or you can go to Bible study. It's going to be right over here in that room, over in the conference room. I already got them picked out. You know? Or you can go to the mission study. Or I don't know what God wants you to do. But you got to say, there's a price to pay. See, I let you make decisions today. God, I'm in, and I'm all in, or I'm not. And so Jesus gives us kind of this warning. Listen, stop and think about it. So what I want to do this morning, I want to look at 5 warning signs, okay? 5 warning signs that God gives us about following him. And so maybe this is one of yours. Maybe this is something you need to think about. But I believe there's some here that need to make some decisions this morning. Listen to what it says. Failure to read the directions will cause embarrassment. Anybody ever been embarrassed? Anybody ever make a decision you're embarrassed about? Yeah. I wish I wouldn't have did that. Why did I do that? Anybody ever do something like that? Yeah. Well, Jesus is sitting there saying, listen, if you're going to cross that line, failure to check it out, failure to make sure. I'm glad you're here checking church out. I'm glad you're here checking this church out. I'm glad you're here checking God out. Check it out. Is it true? Failure to check it out can be embarrassing before you make that decision. What does it mean to make that decision? How does it play out? And so Jesus had these conversations. Here's these crowds. It's growing. His crowd is getting larger. And so again, he turns and he faces them. And listen to what he says here. If anyone comes to me and does not hate, why don't you circle that word? We're going to come back to that word. Hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I don't know if you're following Jesus and you're going along, and all of a sudden he turns and says, okay, I'm glad you guys are following me. There is grace, there's mercy, there's kindness, there's goodness, there's forgiveness. Follow me. It's all yours. It's all yours, but you got to hate your mother and father. That sounds kind of cruel. But what does hate mean? I mean, you know, when I say I hate something, I hate spaghetti. You know? I'm not going to say anything else. Here's the definition I put down here. Hate, distaste, love less. Why don't you circle that? Here's what he's saying. If you're going to follow me, you got to love me more than anything. And everyone. That's what he's saying. I love my wife. I will lay down my life for my wife. Anybody on board with that? Any husbands on board with that? But I love God more. My wife and I, 40 years coming up. I love her more now than I loved her when we got married. Anybody? You know, is that? But I love God more. Yeah. Like I said, Laura said, I went to Will. Laura would go anywhere I went in the ministry. Why? Because she loves God more. Because if she wouldn't do it because she loved me, guaranteed. But she does it because she loves God, right? Come on, am I on the right track here? And so when he's saying hate, he's not saying you hate. He's saying you got to love God more than this. And I want to challenge us with this. Because see, he's saying you need to think about this, because if you don't, it's going to be embarrassed. There's going to come a time when it will embarrass you if you don't understand this. And so he goes on. Look at what he says here as he continues this conversation. Whoever does not bear his own cross, why don't you circle the word cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. You got to hate, you got to put me first in your life, and you got to have your own cross. Now, just real quick, the cross for Jesus was, we just finished, his death, right? Now, my cross is ministry. My cross is being a pastor. That's what he called. See, the cross is God's purpose for your life, whatever that purpose is. You need to understand my picture here of what God does. See, I believe some of you are school teachers because God called you to be a school teacher. I believe that. I believe some of you are in the world of merchandise or whatever because God called you to do that. See, I believe God calls us not to just ministry and church, but wherever we're at. And that's that cross. What he's saying is you got to do God's purpose and God's will in your life. He says, oh, if you want to follow me, put me first and follow me wherever I lead you, wherever it goes, follow me. And then he goes on. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, let me give you a little picture here. Jesus is telling this story, says, follow me. Failure to obey, failure to understand will be embarrassment. Here's the situation. He said, some guy is out there going to build him a house. So this guy decides to build a house, and he gets ready, and he pours his foundation. But he didn't count the cost. He didn't stop and think about it first. He didn't stop and try to figure it out first. He didn't see if he had enough resources. He didn't see if the resources were available. He didn't check it all out. And now he's laid a foundation. There's a slab of concrete there. That's the way I'm going to put it in today's terms. But there's not. It's been a year. It's been 2 years. It's been 3 years. It's been 5 years. And nothing is happening. Now all his neighbors are looking at him thinking he is a idiot, right? Come on, don't just, you know. Look at what it says. Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. See, if we don't count the cost, all of a sudden you're going to be put in a situation. Yes, I want Jesus. Yes, I want to serve God. And when God says do something and you don't do it, it's going to be embarrassing. Am I on board? See, they didn't count the cost, so we need to count the cost. He goes on and talks about a king, and the same thing. The king needs to count the cost. See, I have no problem if people want to ask me questions about God and about church and about Christ. Who's willing to think about it logically and analytically and have a conversation about God? I think that's great. Count the cost. Think about it. Pray about it. See what God wants you to do. Does God want you to get involved in Awana? Does God want you to be part of VBS? Does God want you to be part of Love Salida this coming weekend? What does God want you to do? Go home, pray about it. Have you ever seen somebody who's been embarrassed? You know, as a Christian, I'm embarrassed by some Christians. Anybody? some of what they say, some of how they behave. Count the cost, he's saying. Look again what it says here, Luke 14:33. And none of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything. See, Jesus pulls no punches. You know, we make being, I mean, here's the thing for me. Being a Christian is real easy. Cross that invisible line. It's, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. That's easy. Once I step across that line, whoa. So God wants you to know what that step is. He doesn't want you to blindly step across. And then all of a sudden, oh, I didn't know it meant that. Well, I wasn't in. I was in for the grace and the mercy and the food. I wasn't in for the sacrifice. You know, I was in for the success. And now it's embarrassing. Anybody? See, Jesus is saying, here's a warning. There's another story. Matter of fact, Jesus, in a real quick passage in Luke chapter 9, he confronts three guys and gives three other warnings I want us to look at in Luke chapter 9. And he kind of lays it out for these three guys as he's having this conversation. If you look at your out, this contents will be hazards to yourself. The contents will be hazard to yourself. See, I'm engaged, God. I'm in this. You know, I love the sushi and the bread. You know, God, that was a good dinner we had on the side of the mountain. You know, that sushi and bread we had. You know, those 5,000 friends of mine. You know, we had a great meal, God. You know, I enjoyed the team. Man, you have some great wisdom, God. I really enjoy that. You know, and man, it's so fun to see friends walking again, you know, and that other guy can see again. God, oh, this is all so fun. You know, and I'm in for all that. But wait a minute. Listen what he says here. As you were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm in, God. Count on me. You know I'm with you. And Jesus said to him, foxes have birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now he's talking about being poor. He's not talking about not having any money. He's talking about there's a sacrifice to be paid. There's a sacrifice. Yes, there is success. There's goodness and grace and mercy and forgiveness and joy and peace and all this. Now, here's the contents. But if you cross that line, the sacrifice is real simple. I'm going to give you what the sacrifice is. Your will. Okay? Because your life is not your own. I was bought with a price. Jesus paid the price. Do we see that? My will is to do the will of God. My will is to follow God. My will is to be in the center of God's will. It doesn't matter what Gary wants, Gary likes. I've told you, my dream for retirement. Many of you have been here, I want to go. I want to work at Disneyland. They hire a lot of seniors. I'm not there yet. I will be there one day. You know, I want to work at Disneyland. They have a lot of seniors there. I tell you the job I want. I want the guy who opens the park up that encourages the people to yell and scream. Can you imagine me doing that? Yeah. But here's my commitment. Here's what I want to do. I do not know if I'll ever get to do that. Because my commitment is this. Wherever God leads me is where I'm at. I'm here. Until God says, Gary, you got to go somewhere else. And I haven't heard that. And I don't know if I'll ever hear that. I can have a dream that my will is to do His will. See, that's hazardous because I want my things. Anybody want their way? You know? That remote at my house belongs to me. Come on now. That TV remote, it's mine. You know? You guys gave me a car. Guess whose car that is? It's mine. I'll let Laura drive it every once in a while. But it's mine. Anybody? You know? See, we had this once, and when you cross that line, it is no longer mine. Mine is not part of it. It's not about me, and it's not about my stuff, and it's not about what I want. You ever notice this? I'm going to use this. You might want to write this word down. Sin, two words. Sin sensitive. See, I cross that invisible line, and all of a sudden, some things that I used to think were okay were not okay. Anybody? You know, some things that I thought, well, that's not that bad. It's okay. Everybody's doing it.
You know?
But now all of a sudden I feel awkward about it. You ever notice that you cross that line and all of a sudden those things that, you know, you thought were okay is not okay anymore? Dating. So I remember when I was dating, you know, going out, and I reached the point where I literally prayed this, God, I don't want to date anymore. The next person I go out with is the one I want to marry. I literally prayed that. Dating is no fun. I'm getting hurt, they're getting hurt, and that's no fun. It changes relationships. See, what he's saying is, listen, that content is hazardous to yourself because it's no longer about you. You become sensitive to sin. You don't want to be around that anymore. You don't like that anymore. And you have that sensitivity. You know, it's like, I just feel awkward around that. Anybody have that kind of stuff change in your life? You know? And so he's warning you, you know, if you cross that line, it's going to be different. I remember my father-in-law. My father-in-law was an alcoholic. Kept a bottle of, you know that Gallo plant down here? He probably built it, okay? You know? He always had a bottle of Port Gallo behind his couch. Night bottle from the street down from the Sally's liquor store. Yeah. Always had it behind the couch. Grandkids knew where it was. He never let them take it, touch it, but it was always there. I'd sit there on the couch when I was dating Laura, and my father-in-law would sit there and talk. And my brother-in-law and I would sit there and disagree with whatever he said because you couldn't talk with him. All right? Well, one day, things changed. One day, he needed to get his life right. Something happened. And I mean, it's seriously, I'm in Willits. I get a knock on my door at 2 o'clock in the morning in Willits, California, and it's my father-in-law at the door. And he turned his life around that day and didn't touch another sip of liquor that day. From that day on, never touched liquor. Just, it changed. Decided he was going to work with the youth in his church. Loved the kids, did things, helped kids raise money, did everything with the youth. Awesome. Did all sorts of stuff, but he smoked cigarettes. Now I'm meddling now, okay? I'm meddling now. So he smoked cigarettes. But he said, you know, if I'm going to work with the youth, I need to be an example for these youth. So he smoked those Camels unfiltered. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, he smoked those Camels unfiltered since he was like 12 years old. Okay, now he's in his 60s. You know what he did? Threw the cigarettes away and never smoked another cigarette. He did it with God's help. But he becomes sensitive to these things when he crossed that line. Does God do that in us? Yeah. See, we need to see this, see? This content, you know, we don't think about it, you know, and here's my thing to you. I tell you, cross that invisible line, I'm not going to tell you to change a thing. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'll just warn you. This is what God is saying. God doesn't say, come to me and change your life and come to me, change your life and come. That's not what God, does God say that? Come on. God doesn't say change and come to me. God says come to me. But once you come to him, guess what? Things are going to change. And you're going to want to change. It's not going to be, well, I had to give up cigarettes and I had to give up drinking and I had. No. All of a sudden, you just don't want to do it no more because you become sin sensitive. Am I on board? See, I'm not asking you. You cross that line. So here's what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to quit anything. I'm just saying be aware that you're probably going to change. You know, that's what he says. Isn't that a good warning? You know, content can be hazardous to yourself. It can be embarrassing. How about this next one? Procrastination is harmful if swallowed. Procrastinate besides me? I'm a good procrastinator. I'll tell you a story as we go through this one. Here again, Jesus, that same passage. Here, another guy. All right, here's Jesus. Another guy right there. Listen to what he says. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Pretty reasonable, right? God, let me go bury my father. Here's the problem. Daddy ain't dead. All right? Daddy's fine. Daddy's doing okay. Yeah. See, the problem isn't that daddy's on his deathbed. The problem is I got some things I want to do. Now, see, I can remember even before I was a Christian, I can remember my grandma Cunningham. had an uncle that was kind of wild. Anybody ever have family that's kind of wild? Don't raise your hand. Maybe they're sitting with you. But I had an uncle that was kind of wild. Matter of fact, it's the uncle that got me in church. All right. My grandma said this. Now, some of you won't get this, but some of you older ones will get this. My grandma said this. He's out there sowing his wild oats. Anybody? Some of you younger ones are going, I have no idea what that guy's out there talking about. You know, it's mean he's being wild, okay? He's out there partying and drinking is what he was. And I can still remember my grandma saying, my Uncle Jerry is out there sowing his wild oats. He'll come back someday. And he did. And he did. See, well, just as we come, let me put it this way. Just as we become sin sensitive, here's another phrase you might want to write down. How about the someday syndrome? Someday, Lord. Lord, I know I need to change my life. I know something's not right in my life. I know I'm not happy where I'm at. I know my life isn't where I really want. But someday, Lord, I'll give you a chance. Anybody? Someday, Lord, I'll accept you. Someday, Lord, I'll work with Awana. Someday, Lord, I'll work and be a. Someday, Lord, I'll go to Love Slider. Someday, Lord. Anybody in that someday syndrome? Someday, Lord, when football's not on TV, when baseball's not on TV, Lord, someday I'll go to church. NASCAR was last night, so see, there's no reason for NASCAR fans not to be here today. Wasn't too thrilled with Kirk winning. I would rather see Jimmy win, but that's all right. See, do we have this? You know, this guy, I got to go, you know, Lord. I got to go talk to Daddy. I got to go talk to Mommy. Now, I'm going to tell you, this was mine. At 17, I crossed that line. At 17, I committed my life to God, but I didn't get baptized. Now, you need to know, I didn't tell my mom and dad. You know, I am the leader in my family. I'm the only one that went to church, and I'm the only one that participated in church. I was the outsider, and I didn't tell my mom and dad I accepted Christ, but my grandma sure enough called mom and dad and told her. All right, grandma sure enough that same day called and told my mom and dad, you know. And so I'm talking about getting baptized. You know, and my dad says, well, are you going to get baptized? And I'm going, yeah, of course. That's just the next step. My dad says, are you sure you want to do that? Huh. Maybe there's something more to this I don't know. Maybe I'm not, maybe I don't. 6 months. 6 months I procrastinated. You know, it's I wanted to. I intended to. I was going to. But I didn't. And one day, the uncle's, when I was telling you about that was sowing his wild oats, his wife says, Gary, why haven't you got baptized? Well, I'm afraid to walk the aisle in the church. Can you imagine that? Now look at me. I'm in the front of it. You know? And she goes, well, I'll go with you. So that next Sunday, guess who sat next to me? My Aunt Patty. The invitation came, and I walked the aisle. She says, you ready? I go, okay. You know, we walked down there, and I told the pastor I wanted to get baptized. Because I procrastinated. Anybody? Someday, God, some baptized, God. Someday, God, I'll... Anybody got the someday syndrome? You know, just someday? You know, it's harmful. That's why. Look at what it says. Jesus went on, and Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, that as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Go. Don't get trapped by procrastination. Don't put off. You know, if you're here this morning and you know something needs to change in your life, don't just keep, well, God, someday I'll cross that line, God. I'm just not quite ready. Someday, Lord, I'll get baptized. Someday I want to get out there, and we have that little pool we set up out there, and I'll let him baptize me someday, God. Someday, God, I'll work in VBS. Someday I'll be there for Awana. Someday, God, I'm just working too much. Anybody? Don't get caught up in the procrastination. How about this next one? Indecisiveness will cause serious side effects. Indecisiveness will cause serious side effects. Again, look at this guy. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here's this guy. Again, these all reasonable, you know, makes sense. You know, the guy wants to go home and tell everybody goodbye. No, the guy wanted to go home and have a party. You know, God, before I cross that invisible line, I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to go madly crazy, God. That's what the guy's sitting there saying. You know, I'm going to get all my sin over at once, and then I'll join you, God. You know, that doesn't make sense, does it? You know, I want to go to that final party. You know, give me that last hit, you know. Yeah. Then I'll go, God. Then I'll join you, God. You know? That's what this guy's kind of saying. You know, indecisiveness, you know, there's side effects. I'm going to ask you, does your sin haunt you back out? You know, does that past seem to creep up at the wrong time? Anybody have your past that just kind of sneaks up on you and just kind of drags you back down? You know, you're doing well. You're feeling good. You know, you're making some good decisions. And all of a sudden, you got that regrets, you know, and you got that sorrow. You know? See, that indecisiveness will get you. You've got to be in. I'm in. I'm on. You can count on me. You know, I'm there. You know, and I've heard stuff like this. How about, you know, well, you know, that's a Baptist church, and you know those Baptists. You know, well, they're evangelicals. They're supporting Trump. I don't know who I'm supporting, okay? You want to know the truth? Ain't nobody right now, all right? I'm tired of them all right? You know? But we, you know, well, you know that they believe in, or they're practicing. Well, I was baptized. I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Anybody? You know, this indecisiveness. You know, there's side effects. It catches up. And so I just want to encourage you. It's something we got to do. It's a commitment. Here's the last one. The crowd's growing larger and larger all the time. And here I put it this way. Contents under pressure. Contents under pressure. They're asking questions or conversations. And listen to what Jesus. Do you think I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you that rather division. Now I'm going to give you truth. Jesus came to bring peace, inner peace. All right? But there's division. I told you, I am the only one in my family that goes to church. I did not get invited to my mother's 50th birthday party. Think about that. My mom has a 50th birthday party, and they don't invite their oldest son. I know why. My mom had a drinking problem, and I never said a word. But you know, when the preacher's there, makes people nervous. Come on now, you guys, you know what I'm saying. You know, I didn't have to say a word. Just, there's my son, the preacher. Oh, man, you know. I'm serious. I didn't get invited to Easter egg hunts at my mom and dad's house. Now, did my parents love me? Yeah. My dad has never heard me preach. Never. I'm the one on the outside. Now, just so you know, I know I'm loved. They did the best they could. I have no problem with my mom and dad. I'm at peace with them. I love them, and I know they love me. They just didn't know what to do with me. You know, I'm that crazy one that's going to church. You know, crazy one that joined grandma and grandpa. You know, and so my family was kind of here and there. But here I got great memories of my grandmothers and grandfathers. First sermon I shared with you, when I got done preaching, my grandma was running down the aisle yelling, screaming Baptist, yelling Baptist. Come on now. You know? See, I got some great memories sitting there at grandma's house at Christmas and having her ask the questions that I but now I could. We're sitting in the front seat of grandma's truck getting ready to go pick pears, and we're praying before we start the truck. It's like, I'm ready to go. I want to drive. I don't want to pray. I want to drive. But now I appreciate that. Anybody? See, sometimes it's going to cause some issues. Are you ready for that? Are you sure you want to get baptized? That was the question.
See, there's pressure. Pressure. Look at what it says.
From now on, in one house, there will be five divided against three, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That division. But let me tell you something. In the midst of that division, let me show you this. Both my brothers were buying homes. Both my brothers were doing well in life. Nice homes, built-in pool, nice cars. They're doing well in life. I'm in college, in seminary. And Laura and I have nothing. Nothing. You know, everything's paying for school. Anybody in school? Anybody know what I'm saying? It costs you a fortune. Anybody going to school costs you a fortune? Yeah. And I'm paying for all that. But here's what I remember my grandma told me one time. My mom was there talking to my grandma. My mom said, grandma, out of all her kids, two brothers and a sister, the happiest in her kids was Laura and I. And we had the least. They still seen it. They still knew it. Even though I was the one here, they noticed there was something different there. See, there's going to be hard times. Sometimes you got to step up and I'm doing this. I am in. I'm in. You know, and I think we need to see this. We need to be a part of this. Either you're in or you're not. Here's the warning signs. Boom, boom, boom. Procrastination, indecisiveness, the content. It's all there. What are you going to do? Here's the warning. Yes, I want the good stuff. I want the success. Anybody want the success? I want the joy. I want the grace, the mercy. I want all the good stuff. But if you take the good stuff, guess what? You got to put up with the bad stuff. But I'm going to tell you, in my life, the good stuff far outweighs the bad. I do not think, and I'll say this, and that Laura and I have talked about, I do not think I have sacrificed anything in my life. I have not sacrificed anything for God, if anybody asks me. At least I can't think of anything. Because there's nothing I really want that I don't have. Laura and I were talking the other day. We are blessed. I am so blessed. But here was what Laura and I had this conversation. Anybody, maybe you like this one. Laura and I were talking. We're driving up to Sacramento to pick up some VBS material. And we're just talking and visiting. And we look at one another and say, so blessed. Driving in the car you guys gave me, all right? We are so blessed. But sometimes I wish I was lucky. Anybody? Is it just me? You know? I am so blessed. But sometimes you got those people who are always lucky. They're just always lucky, you know. But I'd rather be blessed. All right, I'm going to settle for blessed. I'm going to settle for blessed. Look at what it says here. I know your works. You are neither hot. Let me give you a little story here. Jesus had died on the cross. Anybody? Jesus died on the cross. Anybody? We just finished it, right? Rose from the grave, ascended into heaven. Book of Revelation is Jesus speaking to the church. All right? Speaking to the believers. Here's what he tells them. I want you to look at this. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would you that you were either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I like water. Anybody? Laura likes hot water. She'll have a cup of hot water. We'll go to a restaurant. Laura will drink. Give me bringing me a cup of hot water. Yeah. Lukewarm? See, that's what he's saying is, listen, you're in or you're out. Yeah. Everybody looks at the church right now, that's really a bad time for the church. I think this is the best time in the life of the church in centuries. You need to hear me. Because the church is still for what God says. And now we're going to find out who's in and who's out. You know, those who just are good timers? Anybody? Anybody a fair weather fan? Anybody a fair weather fan? I got my Giants and Dodgers here, right? We're all right. See, I'm what they might call a fair weather. I can't name a player on the Dodgers. I can't name a player. Yeah. But I can. I can name Ron Say, Lopez. I mean, come on now. You know, I go back. That's the team I know. Yeah. But I'm what, my son-in-law gives me a bad time. He says I'm a fair weather fan. Yeah. I'm neither cold nor hot. Well, you're either in or you're not. See, I love what God is saying here. I think this is a good time for the church because if you're in, you're in. If you're not, you ain't going to hang around much anymore. Stands up and says, this is what God's word says. I'm in. Here's my simple principle. If you're in this church, here's one thing I can guarantee for you. I'm not going to say anything this book doesn't say. That's it. Whatever this book says is good for me. Now, Gary might have some good ideas, but guess what they are? Bad ideas, okay? Because they're Gary's ideas. I'm in for God. I'm in for what God says. Whatever he says, God says, okay. I like the guy at the youth conference one time. He says, just whatever God says, just say yes. Don't ask him anything else. I'm in. God, whatever, I'll pay the price. I'm going to stand on what this says. And that's what I think, you know, that's what Jesus is sitting here saying. Here's your warning sign. Are you sure? Think about it. Don't cross that invisible line if you're not sure. But once you cross the line, keep making those decisions, staying in the will of God. Does this make sense? So I want to challenge you this morning. I'm glad you're here. Are you in or out? You're looking at your life and it's kind of like, I'm just kind of drifting right now. I just don't understand. I can't figure it out. And you're just drifting on. Maybe you're just here checking it out. I'm glad you're checking it out. You don't need to make a decision today. Maybe just to check. You're one of these guys that come up and you're checking out. I'm glad you're here. Check it out. Go home and look at God's word. You need a Bible? Ask one of the guys as you go out. They'll give you a Bible on the way out. Check it out. But realize, indecisiveness, procrastination, you know, that's always going to be those warnings. But you just can't figure life out. I'm going to tell you, God makes it so much easier. You know, for me, it's kind of hard. It makes it easier, but yet it complicates life. You know what? I don't have to decide what's right or wrong. I already know. What's right is what God says. What's wrong is anything else. It makes life real simple. But it's hard. Maybe you need to make another decision. Maybe you haven't been baptized. Maybe you crossed that line and you're just kind of indecisive, you know. Maybe you're procrastinating, you know. Well, I got to go talk to, you know, maybe you got the someday syndrome. Someday, God. Maybe you're dealing with that sin sensitivity stuff right now. Maybe you're kind of wrestling with, well, I don't feel worthy and I don't feel comfortable I'm going to tell you, I'm not worthy either. I had a great conversation this morning in the prayer room about God's grace. Man, I'm sure glad God is a gracious God. I'd be in deep doo-doo if it wasn't. You know? See, I it's the truth. So I want to ask you this morning, are you in or out? I like this passage. I thought this is a good one to close with. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's the good. You heard the warning. That's the good. I'm going to ask you, where's your life at today? Are you in or are you out? Someday, you're going to have to stand before God. Every one of us will. And you're going to have to answer. My prayer for you is, you'll have a simple answer. Jesus Christ died for you. That's my prayer for you. That you know he gave his life. That you can have an eternal life in heaven and an abundant life on earth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love and care. That you're a gracious and merciful God. That you abound in compassion and you have a steadfast love, Lord, because we fail so often. I'm glad that love is steadfast. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're wrestling. And maybe you just want me to pray for you. I'm not saying you need to make a decision, but maybe you say, I just need the prayer as I wrestle with the decision. Will you shoot your hand up? Thank you. Maybe you're wrestling with a someday syndrome. Maybe sinless sensitivity. Maybe a little procrastination or a little indecision. You want some prayer? Just shoot your hand. Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. I see them. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for these who've had the courage to acknowledge the battle that's inside. Lord, it is a complex world that we live in. and difficult decisions and commitments to make. So I ask you to guide their hearts. Reveal in their minds the decisions they need to make. Give them comfort. Give them courage. Give them the opportunity, Lord, to say yes to whatever you've laid upon them, Lord. Guide them, guard them, protect them, Lord. But let your Spirit stir their hearts to the right decision, to where they need to be, that we may be all in for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.